How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live, here for the next hour, talking pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, as we are every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. We got a lot of news to get into today. Last week, we were previewing the WWE Battleground pay-per-view with Todd Martin, who replaced Mike Sempervivi, who was out with an illness. We'll talk to him about that in a moment. Battleground show, a lot of predictions, a lot of ideas for the main event, a lot of suggestions leading into Hell in a Cell. Not a single one of our predictions came anywhere close to what they actually did, which was not only not have a finish, they didn't have a finish, they didn't even ring the bell. The Big Show ran down to the ring. He knocked out Daniel Bryan, he knocked out Randy Orton, and then they played the Big Show's music, and the show went off the air. Fans in the building chanting refund, and a lot worse, and fans at home infuriated, which led to Raw on Monday night, where they set up several matches for the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, not the least of which was Randy Orton versus Daniel Bryan again. This time with Shawn Michaels as a special guest referee, promising, they said, that we would have a finish this time after screwing us out of a Daniel Bryan win 3 straight months in a row. And in a huge shocker, the return after less than 2 months of John Cena after getting tricep surgery. We obviously have a lot to talk about in terms of WWE. Also, New Japan's got a big pay-per-view tomorrow night. We'll talk about the status of Hulk Hogan. He claims, and keep in mind, this is Hulk Hogan, he claims that he has talked to Triple H. What did Triple H tell him? And where do we expect him to go? We'll talk about that. Plus, the story of Rusamar Palhares being banished from UFC. Should it have happened? What can be done about things like this? As well as Ultimate Fighter, the best women's fight in the history of the show, and one of the best fights of all time in Ultimate Fighter history. We're going to talk about that. Plus, so much more news. A lot of stuff to talk about coming back from the break, so stick around. You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We are here every Sunday at 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, iHeartRadio, the Talk Portal, Sirius Satellite Radio app. So many different ways to listen to this show. And Mike, you missed it last week. You were ill.
Yes, hopefully Todd Martin filled in admirably for me. I didn't even get a chance to hear it. I basically slept through everything. As I woke up Sunday morning with a, you know, that dangly thing in the back of your throat?
Yeah.
The uvula?
Sure.
I believe it's called? I don't know. I think that's what it's called.
I didn't know guys had uvulas, but sure.
It was inflamed and it was trying to choke me out. And yeah, so I basically had a sore throat and that thing trying to choke me and kill me. So I sucked on honey all day and took NyQuil and it felt terrible. And, you know, I'm not even lying to you. I had my finger on the button to order Battleground because I knew I wasn't going to be able to see it and stay up and see it. So I just figured, okay, maybe I'll record it. And I figured, you know what? I'm going to wait. And thank God, maybe it was my body telling me if I ordered the show, it would kill me overnight. Thankfully, I didn't. And I decided to wait and hear what you and Dave thought about the show afterwards. And thankfully, I spared my $55 or whatever it was to order the show, and thankfully I didn't get to see it.
I figured the story was going to be that you saw the main event and figured that you were delirious.
I'm blown away, actually. You know, we talked about it leading into the show over the last couple of weeks of, you know, what they could be doing, and, you know, the slippery slope of having Daniel Bryan win the title so many times and have it stripped away from him, which I believed that they were going to do in this case, and I thought, you know, there is a way to do it, even though this wouldn't be the way I would go about doing things, to try to lead to Hell in the Cell, where they actually have what one would figure is their ultimate match between each other with everything that's been going on. frankly, they would have been better doing that, I think, having Daniel Bryan win again, figuring out a way to swipe it from him. Just anything probably would have been better than what they did, which didn't do, you know, anything as far as gaining favors for, you know, Raw on Monday night, let alone trying to establish Battleground as a pay-per-view, you know, an extra pay-per-view that you would want to pay for.
As somebody who watches real sports, at least a hell of a lot more than I do, how often do men tear a muscle and have it surgically repaired and return to action in less than 2 months? Is this a regular occurrence?
You know, it's really not a regular occurrence. You know, the freakiest one in sports, I think, probably has been Adrian Peterson, who tore up his knee at the end of the NFL season 2 years ago, and then made it back by, I believe, the second game of the season last year for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, it was freakish. I mean, you're talking about 10 months of completely destroying your knee, and then all of a sudden, I mean, that was physically freaky. And there's been a lot of talk about how he did it. Of course, he denies all of those things, and there hasn't been any reason for anyone to believe that he did take something to do it with. He's just, you know, some people are looking at it, he's just a genetic freak, and he got lucky in this case. Whether that's the case with John Cena or not, I don't know. It seems, it's just bizarre. It's bizarre he's able to come back from a torn triceps, and everybody remembers how that elbow looked but before he was, you know, excused from the scene after losing to Daniel Bryan after that pay-per-view. It's amazing he's back this quick, and it's amazing that they pushed the panic button and brought him back, because I thought on Monday night how they announced it, I really thought it was, again, very surprised. There were a million one ways I guess you could do it, but it seemed to be a surprise when Vicky Guerrero announced it, and it seemed to be quite underwhelming as far as bringing back John Cena, and it also seemed to be one hell of a panic move.
I don't know if John Cena is on anything. John Cena insists that he has never taken any performance-enhancing drugs in his life. And one thing that I think people should consider is that even if John Cena was taking something, or if you look at like high-level bodybuilders who are taking every drug under the sun, the fact of the matter is they're still genetic freaks. I think that people have this idea that you know, you can have bad genetics and overcome it with all sorts of drugs, but the reality is that there are a lot of people in mixed martial arts who have failed tests for performance-enhancing drugs, and you would never, ever have guessed looking at their physique. So I think that the fact of the matter is that one way or the other, whether John Cena is telling the truth or not, the fact is he is a genetic freak, and so he does have that going for him. And the impression that I was given, and this probably is from the John Cena side talking to people, but the impression that I was given was that he really was hurt. He really did have a torn triceps, but what it was a partially torn triceps, and when they went in to operate, it was not as bad as they had thought. And so the fact of the matter is, he was cleared to return by the WWE doctors. So it's not a situation where he's rushing back early. It's not a situation where he should take more time off. I mean, realistically, he probably should take as much time off as he can for a lot of different reasons. He's banged up, and obviously it's good to let other people get a shot at the top in WWE. But he is ready to return, and I'm sure there were a lot of factors there, not the least of which is it was not a completely torn off the bone triceps, because if it was, he would not be back in 2 months.
No, it's impossible. It would be impossible. I would figure, I'm not a doctor, but that would seem, yeah, very impossible. And he probably, hey, obviously he wasn't as hurt as they figured. It just, when you just look at that, though, I mean, there are a lot of reasons John Cena should take more time off. I mean, we were looking towards, I guess what, initially was you were looking at the Royal Rumble as far as making his return. And maybe I'm not saying he should be out that long, because there's no way he'd want to be out that long if he was, you know, able to wrestle. He's not going to want to wait all the way till January. That's insane. Whether he should or not is a different story, but I think they should have waited a little bit longer, and I think they should have made his return announcement a lot more special than what they did with Alberto Del Rio and the whole thing with Ricardo Rodriguez on Monday night. That was a surprise, too, and again, I guess, again, it's John Cena is the biggest star in that company by leaps and bounds. He was doing PR work even in between this time. He was out there this week promoting the whole tie-in with the Susan Komen breast cancer thing. So he was out there working anyway. I don't know. It was very underwhelming the way they announced it. And again, it's too early for him to come back from a character point of view. I would have held it off a little bit longer. But then again, I'm sure they look at the ratings that they've gotten on Monday nights. They look at probably, the fact that John Cena was supposed to be in this Daniel Bryan role. I'm not saying that, he would have been the only one and Daniel Bryan would have played no part in this. But, obviously if Cena was healthy, you'd figure he'd be well into the top mix against the McMahons and against Hunter and Randy Orton on Raw every Monday night. So I don't know. Again, surprising he's back this soon. Very underwhelmed in how they announced it. But he's going to be back. And it does, again, Alberto Del Rio's reign has not exactly been the most exciting thing in the world. So it'll be interesting to see how what they do with John Cena and how fast he moves into a position where it's him against Triple H or him involved in the mix with Stephanie.
What do you think of the idea of John Cena and Alberto Del Rio for the world title? They're putting him right back in a title picture, but it's not the WWE title. And obviously the world title has meant nothing over the past several months. It's been a long time since that world title has meant anything. Obviously, if John Cena wins it, it's going to mean more. What does it mean in terms of the push that's being given to the WWE title? Is that going to become the secondary title?
I don't think so at all. Not the way that title looks and not the way that they've always positioned that title as the main thing on Raw. Obviously, John Cena could win the title and then you have him. And look, basically, the Daniel Bryan-Randy Orton feud has been the top of both Raw and SmackDown anyway. So John Cena winning the title, and again, unifying the titles at this point probably would be the best idea. I know they don't want to do that. But, having a possible, tie-in with, a McMahon champion against a Helmsley champion or something like that. Again, there's lots of different things that could be possible with it, but it's the best case scenario for the world title alone, the fact it would be held by John Cena. And whether that's good or not for Alberto Del Rio, probably not, although he's been an ice-cold champion anyway.
All right, we're going to head to a break. When we come back, we're going to look at the Hell in a Cell lineup thus far, talk about the matches and how this plays into Raw and Battleground. So stick around. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Semper, Vivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. We're here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the Internet at WrestlingObserver.com. Check us out on the TuneIn Radio app, the Sirius Satellite Radio app, the iHeartRadio, iHeart.com, Talk Radio Portal, Armed Forces Network, WrestlingObserver.com. Replay goes up immediately after the show goes off the air. If you missed first part of the show, you can go check out the replay immediately afterwards. Free download up at WrestlingObserver.com. Tons of free shows there as well. Scroll down the right-hand side of the page. There's a giant picture of a microphone. You can't miss it. And underneath are all of the latest free radio shows, several of them available per week, and significantly more available if you sign up. That's $10.99 a month, more wrestling radio than you could ever listen to in the course of a lifetime, I believe, because it'd be a hell of a life to listen to 6,000 radio shows between now and the end with all the new stuff coming out. So check it out, WrestlingObserver.com. Hell in a Cell, it's coming up on the 27th. Yep, 2 weeks away already. And the lineup thus far, already 3 matches. We've got CM Punk against the Ryback, again, based on the low blow finish at Battleground. Randy Orton, Daniel Bryan, Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels, special guest referee, as well as Alberto Del Rio and John Cena for the world title. What do you think of this lineup so far, Mike?
On paper, if you're just looking at this cold, you go, well, this is, this is pretty good. You have Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, but you've already seen that, I don't know how many times, even though you haven't seen Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. New twist on that. And at least you'd figure it's going to be the end of this run that they've had between Randy Orton and Daniel Bryan, which the matches have been really good. Obviously, the story in the last couple weeks has been a little bit shaky in the fact that, they keep taking the title off of Daniel Bryan, and the title's technically now held up and has been held up for quite some time, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. CM Punk and Ryback, I don't think anyone has ever been clamoring for They got out of it with that low blow finish. So again, it doesn't excite me at all. No offense to Ryback, although he being teamed with Paul Heyman is really good. So hopefully this match is somehow much better than their last one was. And then Alberto Del Rio and John Cena, you know, as far as them working together, it's going to be fine. It'll be interesting to see if there's any, you know, a whole lot of rust on Cena coming back. I'm not sure if he's gone to the NXT facility in Florida. You figure he probably has, and he'll be shaking some of the ring rust off. So, you know, on paper, it's fine. And at least, I guess with the stipulation with Hell in the Cell, at least you're making it a big deal by having, even though they've gotten to in a very poor manner, it's, you know, going to be the ultimate blow-off to you would figure the Orton-Bryan feud is, which is what the Hell in the Cell should be. And then you include, you know, Shawn Michaels in the mix and his history with Randy Orton, as well as him being, you know, notched as the trainer, quote-unquote, of Daniel Bryan, even though, obviously, Bryan had been in other places before he got to the whole Texas Wrestling Association or whatever it was, where Rudy Boy Gonzalez helped to further his career around or along for Shawn Michaels. You got that in there, too. So it's you know, you can't say anything bad about the card right now. It's just, you know, with the way the last couple of weeks have been and with this last Sunday pay-per-view, it's kind of, you know, it's a wait-and-see sort of thing. You can't be too enthused about it right now.
Shawn Michaels is retired. He's not coming back for another match, at least not anytime soon. I'm sure someday we'll probably see Shawn Michaels have one more match. But I cannot see a scenario where Shawn Michaels counts the pin to give Randy Orton the title. I don't know. I just don't see it. I think that Daniel Bryan is going to get the title and hold it for a while. I think that they've... I thought on Raw that they did the best they could trying to convince you that, okay, if you felt screwed by Battleground, trust us. At Hell in a Cell, you're going to get everything that you're expecting. And they certainly did not do that going into Battleground, and we talked about that a lot the last couple of weeks. You know, as I said many times, as a consumer, there's no way I would have bought Battleground. I bought it because it's my job. But there was nothing that they did leading up to Battleground that convinced me that if I paid for it, I would get my money's worth. And boy, did they deliver on that promise. I did not get my money's worth at all. Thankfully, it was my buddy Craig's money. He paid for the pay-per-view, so I feel bad for him. But this one, they're really trying hard to make this into your bigger-than-average B pay-per-view. And we shall see. I still don't think it's going to do a very good number. But I do have to say that I feel like they're trying.
Yeah, that they definitely are. I mean, it's just the fact that Shawn Michaels is going to be there, you know, yes. And the fact that, you know, I thought the end of Raw, I thought, was really good. And I thought Triple H, you know, selling the punch from the Big Show, I thought was excellent. Yeah, I mean, they are. It's kind of funny, though. They're trying to make it a bigger than normal B-show pay-per-view, and it's Hell in the Cell, which is just kind of ridiculous to say.
Now, the Raw show on Monday night, any thoughts on their follow-up? They're blaming, obviously. They were not taking the blame for the bad pay-per-view. They blamed Brad Maddox. And to me, based on what's going on with the Big Show, he's been fired, supposedly. I see this as the beginning of the return of Vince McMahon, who, at one point, there had been talk of him coming back on this past Monday's show. That didn't happen. But I think that Big Show no longer caring about being fired, no longer caring about his house, no longer caring about any of that stuff, I think that's because he has been contacted by Vince McMahon, who's going to return as a babyface and save the day.
Yeah, very probable. The fact that, you know, I think you and Dave talked about it this week as well. You know, the fact that JBL was saying, where is security, and you have what is a supposedly fired guy. Not to say that these type of things don't slip through the cracks and just happen anyway for no reason, but I tend to believe, as you guys do, that there's probably more of a reason that Big Show is still dressed in his trunks, even though he, you know, then again, I guess if he's homeless and he's got to live in his car or whatever it is, I guess, you know, you just walk around in your trunks. Maybe he's that despondent. I don't know. But the fact that he got theme music on top of it probably indicates that whole scenario is part of the storyline as well. And again, his punch on Triple H, I thought that went very, very well to end the show. And the way Triple H sold it, I thought was great. So no complaints out of me. You know, I know there's a lot of people who don't want to see the McMahons and don't want to see it. I'm completely fine with it, to be honest. I think everybody, for the most part, again, when you take out how they've dragged out and the scenario they've taken with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, I think overall, though, I can't really complain with what they've done, at least yet. And Vince being back in the mix, again, doesn't hurt my feelings. And whether that plays a part in John Cena winning the title and how that's incorporated into everything, it's very possible.
The final segment on Raw was Big Show knocking out Triple H. And if you go to WWE.com, apparently one of the big stories tomorrow is, will the Big Show be arrested for assault? So hopefully Big Show's not on the website, because if I were him and I read that, I wouldn't show up at Raw, but surely he will show up at Raw, even though he's fired. So
apparently, by the way, Triple H was knocked out for 3 minutes and 31 seconds.
They made 3 minutes and 31? Wow.
So they noted on SmackDown when they said that there could be legal ramifications for the Big Show.
WWE also has a poll, which just has to be a rib. The poll question is, which Total Diva rookie had a better Raw debut? Eva Marie or JoJo? Now, keep in mind, Eva Marie wrestled and had an absolutely hideous match, and JoJo never even got in the ring. So, I mean, the obvious answer would be JoJo. She had a much better debut. She didn't do anything wrong. So I'm going to vote for JoJo here. And amazingly, I'm in the minority. 15,000 votes, supposedly. 63% voted for Eva Marie having a better Raw debut, and 37% voted for JoJo. That was one of the worst Raw debuts in-ring that I have ever seen.
What was worse, Buff Bagwell against Booker T or Eva Marie?
Oh, God. Eva Marie by leaps and bounds.
What's worse, Eva Marie or that Charmel Survivor chick, Jenna Maraska match in TNA?
I'd have to go back, but I'm pretty sure that Charmel's match was significantly worse.
I guess you got to get them on the show. I guess why they need to wrestle, I don't know. But yeah, I think having them on there in a wrestling match, forget about the poll, just having them on there is a rib to somebody in that company.
I haven't watched SmackDown yet, but apparently Eva Marie, and I don't even know how this is possible, had an even worse match on SmackDown, but it will be, I'm sure, heavily edited, unless the idea was to embarrass her, in which case it'll probably play in its entirety. But I'm going to check that out shortly after this show, so we'll have to, we'll talk about that next week. All right, Hulk Hogan, no update on him and TNA. He has claimed that at a charity event, he ran into Triple H, who gave him a big hug and said, anytime you want to come back, the door is open. So to me, this is, I'm not saying it never happened, but it sounds like a Hulk Hogan negotiating tactic, seeing how much money he can get from TNA if they think that WWE is interested in having him come back and he can just walk in at any time. It'll all come down to who's going to pay him more money. And TNA obviously was paying a lot of money. I do not picture WWE paying Hulk Hogan $30,000 an appearance, unless he's only going to make like 5 appearances a year or something like that, or only appear on pay-per-views. So I guess we'll see. But my gut tells me, and if you talk to people in WWE, their gut also tells them that Hulk Hogan's probably going to end up back in TNA. And that seems to be the feeling amongst people that I've talked to in TNA as well. He'll probably end up coming back. A lot of talk maybe that Sting, however, may return for WrestleMania. So it's going to be a very interesting next couple of months here, because Sting's deal is obviously coming up at the end of the year as well. So we'll talk to Mike about both of these things when we come back from the break. Where should each man go? Should Sting make a final run in WWE? Should Hogan try another year in TNA? Does it matter since he can't wrestle much anyway? We'll talk about that after the break. Wrestling Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here on Wrestling Observer Live. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. We're joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com, here every Sunday, 3 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 6 Eastern, on the Sports Byline USA Radio Network, Sirius Satellite Radio, Channel 92, 94, 794, XM Radio, Channel 208, and streaming live worldwide on the internet at WrestlingObserver.com, Sirius Satellite Radio app, TuneIn Radio app, iHeartRadio, iHeart.com. Check out the Talk Radio portal, Armed Forces Network, and at the end of every show, the downloadable version is available at WrestlingObserver.com. If you just tuned in and you missed most of the show, head to WrestlingObserver.com after the show and you can download this program for free. And while you're there, scroll down the right-hand side of the page, a listing of our latest free radio shows. We do several shows per week. Podcast the programs. You can podcast the free shows. And if you like what you hear, sign up. $10.99 a month. 10 to 15 brand new radio shows every single week. Plus, when you sign up for just $10.99 a month, you get full access to our entire archive dating back to 2005. Over 6,000 radio shows are available in the archive. So if you love this program, I guarantee you will love a subscription to WrestlingObserver.com. So head up there and check it out. It's only $10.99. Try it for a month. If you don't like it, you never have to do it again. But I'm pretty sure if you sign up, you will be a subscriber for life. Now, Mike, the situation here with Sting and Hulk Hogan and AJ Styles, all contracts coming due in TNA, where do you believe each man is going to end up?
Well, I'll take the last one first, AJ Styles, remaining in TNA. I don't know what WWE could offer him. I mean, he would no doubt be in NXT, would go to Florida first. There's not even a question over that to see if he could work, you know, quote unquote, the WWE style. And there are things that he would have to change, obviously, joining WWE. Again, I don't know what he would net going down there as far as paying, but I could also see him never getting out of there. And unless it's more money than he's making right now, significantly more than the money he's making right now, I don't see a reason for him to walk away from TNA. You know, whether he could be on the main roster or not right away, yeah, sure, he probably could. But realistically, that's probably not going to happen. He gets to remain on national TV and live near home and kind of work on his own schedule. And I think that's probably the best place for him. When it comes to Hulk Hogan, it really comes down to the money. Obviously, if you've seen Hulk Hogan for his Hostamania ad, swinging on a wrecking ball, kicking a fake Jean-Claude Van Damme in the face while wearing a black thong to his old WCW American Made music, you'd know Hulk Hogan likes money, and he needs money. And that's basically what it comes down to, is the money with him. And I think as long as he's got the control in TNA and they're willing to offer him, you know, enough money to make him happy, that's where he's going to be, just because I don't think WWE needs him. They don't need him for WrestleMania. Sure, it'd be nice to have him around. Obviously, they have the 2K14 game that's out, that they've been, you know, showing a lot. In fact, they're using it as part of the Hell in the Cell advertising when it comes to the matches and things like that. You know, yeah, they'd be okay with him there. They'd be more than fine with him not there either. So, again, as long as TNA has got some money and they're going to dangle it out there, I have a feeling that's where he's going to be. Now, Sting, on the other hand, to be honest, if I was Sting, I would probably take whatever WWE was going to offer and appear at WrestleMania. I think that would be a great idea for a number of reasons, not the least of which is future earnings. You know, his time in the ring, Sting, I think, has done an amazing job for a guy in his 50s, and the way he's wrestled his matches and the way he's been able to carry the ball for TNA when it comes to him. Now, he doesn't mean much ratings-wise or anything like that, but nobody in TNA does. He is an impactful name, and the one place he's never been is WWE, and he gets to do that. He'd get, obviously, a WrestleMania payoff out of the deal. There's no way they bring him in and he's not appearing at WrestleMania in some aspect. That's insane. But then you include DVDs and interviews for, you know, no matter what it is, anything from the era of WCW when he was there, which is, what, God, 1980? God, when did he join the UWF? 1986? So he joined when Crockett in 1988 or whenever it was. There's a lot of history and things you can get out of Sting, and I think with toys and marketing and all that sort of stuff and all these DVDs and everything, it would be probably smart for him to do that so he'd have those royalties coming in forever, and just the fact that he'd get to appear at WrestleMania, which would be, he's one of the only names out there who's never been in WWE where it would mean a little something. It wouldn't mean a lot because so much time has passed and a lot of people just, you know, they don't know who he is. My son only kind of knows who he is, you know, from TNA, and he's four. You're talking about a generation that it's been 15 years since he was on national TV in a major, major role. You know, no offense to TNA, but that's the truth. So, again, this is naming a whole lot, no, but him and The Undertaker at WrestleMania or him at somebody at WrestleMania in some sort of scenario, nothing wrong with that. Hey, for all that matter, since Wrestle 1 is going on in Japan and Muda's got that new company, and I'm sure would love it, bring back Sting and Muda. Would it mean anything to WWE fans? No, but it would make me happy.
Who would he face at WrestleMania?
To me, I would figure The Undertaker. I, I don't think you would be taking the scenario out that who is going to beat The Undertaker this year. I think if you throw Sting and Undertaker up there, people are going to know it's The Undertaker. But I guess you can bring in that whole legend from the outside or legend who is always in a rival promotion or something like that, where I think they could do it. Would the match be that great? No. Could both of them get by, though, without doing a whole lot? Yeah, I think they could. And that's why I think it would be a – that, to me, would be the major match to have. I guess you couldn't do Flair, I guess, because I don't know what –
I was going to say, let's take Undertaker out of the equation here. Let's presume that they're going to do Undertaker and Brock. If Undertaker is out of the picture, who does Sting face?
You could do – well, it depends on – Randy Orton could not – it would be a legend-killing sort of thing. And I think they want Orton for other stuff, but you could always have Orton there, I guess, as being the guy that, you know, to crush, you know, kind of taking him back to that persona to crush him. It's kind of tough with who they have. You know, it would be, again, it would be probably a smoke and mirrors type scenario unless you do a tag match. And I don't know who you hook up Sting with to do a tag match with. You know, Sting and Cena. But it would be a waste for Cena. I would think he would look at it that way, because it could be Cena Undertaker this year, and that would be massive. And it could be Cena and a lot of other guys. But, you know, again, as far as, like, big stars go, I think, to be honest, I would try to bring one in. Obviously, it bumps off another guy. But, you know, a Sting Hogan, you could do that. Or you could do something else where you bring in another guy to phase him.
I still think Undertaker is probably the best bet. Randy Orton would be fine. Cena, I think Cena would be a big match for a certain segment of the fan base. Maybe a lot of kids today wouldn't care. Maybe the young male audience. Maybe it's hard to say. You know, they obviously boo Cena, but Cena moves business like nobody else, and it's not all kids that he's moving business. I mean, he's moving business for the 18 to 34 year olds that hate him. So he does mean something to them, but. We shall see. It is the end of the year. By the end of the year, we'll have a better idea. But like I said, there are people in WWE who think that he may be WrestleMania bound this year. Now, Rusamar Palhares, what do you do with this numbskull? Besides the obvious, which is cut him.
Well, you do what you did. You cut him. I mean, you have to, and they did. And again, will he be back? Probably. You know. you're not.
You know what? I don't think he's going to be back. For those that didn't see it, this past Wednesday, Rusamar Palhares faced Mike Pierce at the UFC Fight Night show. He put him in a heel hook. Pierce tapped. Referee jumped in to stop it. Palhares held on and gave it one extra little crank. He was denied his submission of the night bonus as a result. He was suspended by the Brazilian commission. And he was later cut from the UFC. Now, keep in mind, this is at least the third time that he has held on to a submission too long in both mixed martial arts and grappling. He has failed a drug test. This was his first fight back since a failed drug test. And I personally, the thing that I got to get off my chest right here is that he released a statement on video, essentially begging for his job back. And I, on Wednesday, very much was in favor of cutting this guy. I mean, just cut him. You've had other guys in the past who have been cut from the UFC. For example, punching somebody after a match. It'd be a good example. That have never been brought back. And to me, it's one thing to hold a sleeper a little too long, a rear naked choke. You hold that a little too long, maybe the guy goes to sleep. Even if he's asleep, You're not doing any brain damage. You're not killing anybody. You're not injured. You're not shortening their career. But a heel hook, not letting go of a heel hook, you can ruin a man's career and his life. So that to me alone was grounds for firing this guy. Now, what I was going back to the video, he released this video, and no, after watching the video, I did not feel that Paul Jarez should be reinstated. I still felt that he should be cut. However, I have to admit, in watching the video, I felt a smidgen of sympathy for this guy. A smidgen! However, then I had to listen to his idiot manager. This guy, his manager, I forget the guy's name. What the hell is Paul Jarez's manager's name? Anyway, this guy is doing his client no favors. Every time he opens his mouth about what a nice guy Paul Jarez is and how he doesn't mean to do this and how he's being crucified and how he's being unfairly treated. Every time this guy opens his mouth,
crucified, you say?
That, literally, I believe he used the term crucified.
Well, I'll say this. I was at UFC 111 when he faced Tom Stroll. And he laid in the heel hook and wouldn't let it go. And you're counting, you know, 1-1000, 2-1000. You know.
Alex Davis. Alex Davis' manager. Paul Jarez, he says, is being crucified in the court of public opinion.
It happened in, what, a grappling competition? It happened at UFC 111 for all of us to see. And he was, you know, roundly criticized after that and deservedly so because, again, I know it's fighting. I know it's emotional. There's all of these things that happen, but the same way you don't punch a guy after a fight, the same, you know, there's things that you don't do and you don't put in. I mean, this is another guy's career. I mean, that could happen to you. That's the sportsmanship part. You can kill a man in mixed martial arts. You could kill a man in pro wrestling, but the guy trusts you with his body. Now in MMA, it's different. Nobody's trusting you with their body. But they are trusting you when you tap out and you admit defeat that I can't get out of this. You are the better man. You win. That it's going to stop there and not continue on to something else, which is what happened, like you said, for the third time, the second time in the UFC. So his manager can say how badly he's being criticized and how poorly, you know, his client is being looked at and how the whole world is coming down upon him. Frankly, it doesn't even matter if we say anything or the UFC says anything. He should watch out that other clubs don't get involved and other teams don't get involved and say, you know, we're not going to fight this guy. We want nothing to do with this guy, which apparently I guess has happened too, where people don't want to face him, not because they don't think they can beat him. It's because they think he's dirty.
If Paul Jarez and his manager, this Alex Davis fella, if they just profusely apologized, admitted wrongdoing, said that they were wrong and they were sorry and they would never do it again, guy still has to be cut. But it would be better. I would have some sympathy. I would be open to the possibility of future reinstatement in that case. But here, when this guy is turning it around on me, how it's my fault, I'm the bad guy, it's appalling to me. Back in just a moment, Observer Live on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. We are back here for the final segment of the show. Brian Alvarez here, WrestlingObserver.com. Joined by Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I just about blew my own head up screaming about Rusamar Paul Jarez and his manager in the previous segment. I've calmed down a little bit. Mike, any final thoughts on this situation? This unsportsmanlike behavior.
No, just you know, Paul Jarez go away and Alex Davis, you know, try to go away a little more quietly. Again, you'd be doing your man a much better a service by doing that. Like you said, apologizing profusely still doesn't mean he should come back, but it makes the salve a little bit easier afterwards. If he's out for a significant period of time, doesn't do anything, that, you know, it's okay. Doing it this way, again, I don't know. Again, with his history and everything else, I don't know how they could come out and say such a stupid thing immediately after being cut. Either don't say anything or be apologetic and just bide your time.
If you profusely apologize, then maybe in 2 years, I know it's a long time in fighting, but hey, punishment stands. Maybe in 2 years you think about, all right, we'll let this guy try again. But what they're doing right now to me is like, I don't care if this guy never fights again. Lifetime banishment for all I care. I just think that his manager is doing him a great disservice. And every single time I read or hear a new interview with this guy, I have less and less sympathy for Paul Juarez. Just want to mention very quickly that if you have not seen it, Jessamyn Duke and Raquel Pennington from Ultimate Fighter this past Wednesday night, the female edition of Stephen Bonner versus Forrest Griffin, one of the great fights in the history of Ultimate Fighter, the best women's fight in the history of the show, one of the best fights from males or females in the history of the show. And as I had, I suggested this quite a while ago, after only 3 weeks, we had to wait for a pattern, but it is now a pattern. Women fighting on Ultimate Fighter, big ratings. Men fighting on Ultimate Fighter, not big ratings. It is alternating week to week. It is the craziest thing. So make sure you check out that fight. It's all over the internet as well. You can watch the whole fight for free at a number of different sites, including ours. So head up there and check that out. Want to thank y'all for listening this week. Want to thank Mike, as always. We are out of here. Check out WrestlingObserver.com for more. Sign up for radio every single day. We'll talk to you again next week. Wrestling Observer Live, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network.